What's going on, folks? Welcome to another episode of I Hope This Doesn't Suck. Tonight, we're bringing back the guest format with the first ever in-studio guest. That's right, I said in-studio. The reason that that's important, which it probably isn't to any of you, frankly, you're probably thinking to yourself, I don't fucking care. But I've never had a guest in studio, so for me, it's kind of an exciting thing. But let's talk about the guest here. Aaron Day Diaz Dog. I don't know, Aaron D. He's a Albuquerque-based photographer, and he's right here in front of me, so it's kind of weird to talk about him, but introduce yourself, man. What's up?
Well, I was actually really excited that you just cussed there, because now I could... I'm not going to go crazy, but mine might slip out. Now I feel a little comfortable doing that.
Well, have you ever looked at this page on, like, iTunes or anything? Every single one of them is explicit.
Yeah, but... You know, like, you still try to tone it down just to keep...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean...
I'm not trying to step on toes.
Trying to, like, throw fuck every other word or anything, but it'll happen. So, Aaron, let's start with your basic history. Like, where are you from?
Originally from Gallup, New Mexico, about 2 hours here from Albuquerque. Got out as soon as possible. Graduated on a Thursday, and I moved here the following Sunday.
That's
so
right.
4 days time.
Well, I mean, that's necessary. It's Gallup. I mean...
Oh, God.
If I have any Gallup listeners, I don't know, man.
They know the situation.
You know the situation. we don't fuck with Gallup here. Anyway, so okay, so you were born and raised in Gallup, right?
All 18 years,
and then you got right to Albuquerque. So, you know, we're not going to get into your entire life story, but what got you into doing photography in the first place?
So. I don't know. As a kid, I've always wished that my teenage years were documented.
That's valid.
I had a really crazy like childhood where I didn't have a lot of supervision. It was a small town. You don't have to worry about a lot of crazy factors that you have to worry about in bigger cities.
Sounds very like punk rock.
Yeah. So it was a really cool spot. I wish back in the day, because we were growing up, you know, in like that CKY era.
Yeah, everything
like that. So the camcorder always sounded cool.
Sure.
So, you know. When the phones started coming out with cameras, that was kind of our thing. And I don't know where any of these pictures are.
Yeah,
we didn't have the backup, the iCloud, the crazy thing that these kids have now where, oh, look, you hop on Facebook every other day. You have like a memory from 6 years ago. We didn't have any of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my MySpace account, I couldn't even tell you if that's even there anymore.
Yeah.
Probably is floating somewhere in the universe, but I don't have access to it.
Let's fucking hope not, man. I mean, nobody wants their MySpace floating around in the universe.
Yeah.
Pretty sure I deleted mine. Yeah, that was just an embarrassing time. But that, you know, that kind of is an interesting point. When I first got into photography, I was probably like 14. My mom gave me her old boss's like Nikon film, like SLR, not DSLR, SLR. So I'm like sitting there trying to figure out film, shooting everything in auto. But it was really cool because it kind of brought like that initial like joy of photography and like kind of the need to continue to do it in there. When did you start shooting? Like when was like, because, like, for instance, like, I started shooting when I was about 14, stopped until I was about, I don't know, fucking 24, and then jumped back into it. When did you actually start?
So, I remember when my mom bought this camera back in the day. I remember we got it when we came up here to visit my brother. I don't know why they bought it. I guess it was just time to move from the disposable Walgreens drop-off cameras to something a little bit more
like
efficient,
like a power
right?
shot or something like
that. Yeah, and I remember it was a basic Canon model. This was like AA batteries model, and I think the highest gig SD card it even held was an 8 gig.
Oh,
I think
fuck
it was
yeah,
like a
dude.
Little 4.1 megapixel like point and shoot. Like there was nothing fancy about it.
Sure.
But I remember when they bought that camera, whenever we went on a trip, they always gave it to me because they knew I was gonna like I wanted it, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was an off and on. I never thought it was anything. I just liked the idea of it more than I actually used it at the time.
Sure.
So, I don't know. As I got older, I kind of would just always think back and wishing I documented a lot more in my youth. I, you know, like I said, we didn't have what these kids have now where you could just pull out your phone. We didn't have any of that crazy stuff.
And I think part of the nice part about that, though, is that you just have those memories, right?
Like, right.
It is nice to always have a documentation, but you don't always want everything documented. Like,
right.
I feel like a lot of kids, like, my son is going to have so much documented in his life, he'll never really understand, like, just enjoying a moment.
Right.
And I feel like that's a really hard balance to find when you get into photography in the first place. When I first, like, picked up a camera, I didn't stop looking through the viewfinder. You know what I mean? Everything every little thing looked interesting to me because I was using a fucking camera and I was the coolest guy in the world. But I feel like since you kind of waited that a little, that amount of time, you have the regret of like, oh, I didn't document all this shit, which was super cool. We did a lot of cool shit, but you got to just enjoy that super cool shit instead of worrying about, say, think of how many moments you would have missed if you had a camera as opposed to if you, you know, the way you did it, right? Like, you probably got to be a lot more reckless because I know you with your gear. I know you with your gear. You're not, you don't fuck around with your gear. So, I don't know. I feel like it's a necessary sort of thing. Now, one thing I do want to talk to you about, and you recently archived everything on your Instagram.
That, yeah.
Every single shot.
Everything.
From the very beginning.
Correct.
Now, I know this is kind of not a like common practice. A few people have done it. 88 shots. He did it. Well, God knows how many times. Now he's tasty.chips and all this crazy shit. What kind of possessed you to go through and archive everything?
So the best way I could describe this is we could look at it like, have you seen the movie Moneyball?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I want to look at Instagram as a statistic-based format because that's really what it is.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
From what it is back then to now, it's all statistics.
Of course.
It's all about algorithms, posting times. Like, it's the craziest thing.
Of course,
so
yeah, yeah.
I went, and I'm still doing it, going through my 100 and almost 200 photos that I archived. What got on base more is what going off the Moneyball.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Terminology is what got on base more, right?
So okay. Now, here is something that, this is something I talk to Esteban, our mutual friend, about all the time. And I actually yelled at him the other day just about this. And it was just simply that, why are you so focused on the metrics, right? I feel like a lot of the time, there's a lot of photos that kind of get passed by because you're like, well, I don't know if my community is going to like this. If the people who follow me, I need to appeal to my following as opposed to make my following appeal to me.
Right.
Right? Like, if that makes sense. You need to be that person who, whatever you post, is always just going to be the shit because you did it.
Right, exactly.
I feel like that's more important than, oh, well, I went back in time, I saw a few that had 105 likes or like 110 likes or whatever, fucking 85 likes. Instead of kind of going in the direction of like, say, I'm going to post more like this, I'm going to see what kind of editing style people seem to gravitate towards, my personal opinion is, just fucking post. The most important thing is to get what you want to create out there. And if people don't like that thing, or if people see it and they happen to scroll past it, that doesn't fucking matter. Because at the end of the day, the only footprint that you're going to leave is the one that you want to leave. Right? Pandering to an audience isn't going to build you up the way you want to. Because what will happen after that, and I learned this from Short Stash, is you're just going to be making content for other people. And I feel like that takes the fun out for me. Right. I was talking to Esteban about this again the other day. He was like, oh, dude, this picture I took, it is so fucking dope. Like, I fucking love this picture, but I couldn't post it. And I'm like, why? And I was like, he was like, because it's landscape. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? Like, you can't post it because it's a landscape format and you might get a few less likes. And he was like, yeah, man, I mean, you know, you gotta make stuff for the followers. And I fell into that trap as well. And I was like, no, dude, you need to post that because it's just a sick fucking picture. 2 days go by, comes back, I'm talking to him again. And he's like, dude, somebody bought a print of that photo. I was like, what the fuck did I tell you, dude? What the fuck did I tell you? Pandering to your followers isn't going to yield results because likes are not fucking money. Likes are not success. Right. Instead of focusing on, oh man, I want fucking 10,000 likes and 150,000 followers, focus on building your image. Right. Now, I know what you were telling me earlier is you just didn't like that stuff. Right. So if you don't like that content, that's totally understandable. But what I want you to realize is it's not what they like that matters. It's what you like that matters.
Yeah, and so how I look at it is like...
Fucking Dr. Phil shit.
No, no, when people, like these big professionals, right? It doesn't matter if you're an artist or a sports player or anything. Like, we'll even use, like, I'm not a big sports guy, but LeBron James, right? Everyone would want to see his youth videos, like if he was a kid, right?
Yeah, 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 because He's because done he's some incredible
the,
thing.
Like, one of the biggest athletes in the world. Me, I'm not anything crazy. So if I was to be like, you want to look at my bad shit? Everyone's just going to symbolize that as just bad shit.
Well, everybody's
not going to be like, wow, you know, you changed the world now. Let's go look at your bad shit. No, it's just like,
I see what you're saying with that same sort of ideal of, you know, somebody sees my Instagram, for instance, they're not going to scroll all the way down to see where I started.
Right.
That's for me. That's there for me. And I know when you archive something, it's still always going to be there. And I've been guilty of doing that too. A few of them that I just get super unmotivated about because I see such a lack of interest that I'll just be like, bye.
Gone.
Archived. Right. But, and I see that point, right? Now, is Instagram a gallery? That's a big question that I have for a lot of people. Is Instagram a portfolio? Is it a gallery of like, this is my top of the line work? Or is Instagram a place to feel comfortable posting what you want to post?
It all depends on the audience you're trying to go for, especially with how sensitive every subject could be now. So everything's controversial. But how I look at Instagram is you're waiting in line with 1,000 people at a talent agency,
mm-hmm.
and you're competing with people who aren't as good as you and people who are going to skyrocket past you soon as they get seen.
Hands down, dude.
So you're in like a giant mixing pot on Instagram, and the only way to get up there is to get those likes, is to appeal to the masses, because that's what Instagram is. It's for the masses. If you want to have a portfolio and a gallery, you need to provide that for yourself, because Instagram, in my opinion, you're not going to... I mean, there was that guy that... What did he do in that gallery? He screenshotted
Other people's
thing. Yeah, and that thing was successful because it was different, right? You could look at it good and bad, but that guy did something different.
Absolutely.
And it took off.
But and here's the other thing too. I mean, in the long run, I think our goals are very, very similar of, I want to do this for work. I want this to be my job.
Exactly.
I want it. Now, is that the metric of success that you measure? How many clients am I getting just from my Instagram? Or is your metric of success, how popular am I on Instagram?
So yeah, so I think the metric of success nowadays comes from Instagram. If you could look at the statistics of your Instagram page versus your personal website, what do you think has more traffic right now? Of course, that Instagram, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, as far as like an organic sort of reach sort of thing,
right?
Instagram is a social network, right? Instagram, first and foremost, is Facebook, right? Or it is Twitter or whatever fucking social network you're on. It's not a community of photographers that are there to like help each other out or like to fucking, you know what I mean? It's not like a place for people to
doggy dog world on it.
I mean, it's disgusting. I mean, it really is. And it's not like people are avidly malicious. But as far as what I want to see more traffic on, I want more people to see my fucking website than I want them to see my Instagram. My Instagram is a place where I post fucking street photography or any sort of weird creative endeavors instead of say like professional work. Which kind of gets me to the second part of this. Creating multiple accounts, is it necessary? And kind of why? Why make multiple accounts for certain things?
So people do it so they can keep like a category, right? There's people who specialize in landscapes, like you, people that do beautiful landscapes, and you have this beautiful feed of traveling the world with these amazing landscapes. And then you have an interrupted feed with like a short spurt of 2 or 3 weeks of portraits and then back to these beautiful landscapes. Like you said, eventually it'll get buried and buried to a point where people aren't going to look back anymore.
Yeah.
But say there is those people that do look back and then they notice that like interruption. Like if you want to keep it like concise, I think multiple accounts is a good option. And now how you could tie them together with a simple switch account option.
Oh, like, yeah, which is great.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. Now, okay. I feel like Instagram gets itself in a very, very like complicated loop in this nature,
right?
Like I don't post my portrait work on my Instagram anymore because I don't want to lose the following that I have.
Right.
I feel like there's something inherently wrong with that. I feel like we're just kind of donating to short attention spans at this point of, oh, this person no longer posts what I want to see. I'm just going to fucking unfollow them. Right. this person is posting a fucking portrait. Oh, well, what happened to your fucking street photography style shit? It's like liking your favorite band, but hating them for changing anything about their music.
And it happens.
And it does. It does happen. Now, I understand the idea of multiple accounts. I have talked about opening a fucking second account on this podcast for the past like 3 months. There's fear to it though, right? Because like, say I want to open up my professional account where I do all of my client work, you know, my product photography and video and fucking, I don't know, engagement, wedding, elopement, et cetera, et cetera. I know the basic path that I would want to go down to do this. I've got the hashtags in mind and everything already, but it's so much work to build up an Instagram, right? I'm at fucking 550, I'd say, on average, considering the amount of people that unfollow me a day versus the people that follow me a day. And I am already very, very stagnant in that growth. It's very hard to find the time, one, because it is. It's a fucking suck of time. It's a stupid amount of time. And two, the drive to continue moving forward with that. So I know that you are interested in doing exactly that. Now, what would that look like for you?
Well, what I like about it right now is if you specifically wanted to open a second account, but you're nervous on how people would take it,
mm-hmm.
you could stay anonymous. You don't have to put your name. You don't, because if you, like you said, you never posted that on your original account, so nobody could ever link A and B.
Yeah,
so
sure.
You could post it, you could stay anonymous, and you could see how the masses take to it. If they're responding positively, come out.
Well,
put your name, embrace it.
It's not necessarily that I'm worried about. I'm not worried about what people are going to think about what I post. It's more the worry of building it. Right, because you already have one account. You spend X amount of time on a day. It's fucking tiring. It's mentally draining because you're sitting there fucking liking. I'm going to scroll, double tap, and maybe comment on this dude's photo. I'm going to scroll, double tap, and do this for fucking 30 to 45 minutes a day if you ever want to see any sort of consistent growth. You know, or you know, those fucking feature hubs and all this kind of shit. It's such a fucking stupid world, in my opinion.
Exactly. Yeah, I totally agree. And where I see it is I would rather build a community of consistent people
mm-hmm.
than worry about those people that follow you
and then
give it a few
you.
Minutes and exactly and then they just completely drop you.
Well, and
in hopes of that you would help them build theirs.
That's the fucked up thing is that is actually the hardest part. Building that consistent following.
That's all
you
that
can
I'd
message
go for.
A million fucking people. But everybody is so fake on Instagram.
Oh yeah.
It's so like disconcerting how fake the entire population of this photo sharing platform. I do finger quotes because it's not that. It's really not that. Like, the fucking world record egg is the most liked photo. It's a picture of a fucking egg somebody literally stole off of Google Images. Like, whoever has the rights to that egg is owed some money. And it's so hard to feel any sort of motivation to push for this fucking high school fucking popularity contest of a social media platform, right? A lot of the really, really, really famous Instagrammers that I know of, like Short Stash or like Chris Burkhard, they don't give a shit.
They don't.
They don't. But it's really easy to not give a shit when you already have a fucking huge following.
Exactly.
And, you know, again, going back to Short Stash and listening to his not his podcast, but he was featured on the Darkroom podcast. He was talking, it's all about telling a story, right? He said, oh, you just got to tell a story and the likes will come. That's so not fucking true. You're never going to get a following by just be yourself. Just put yourself out there. I wish that that was true. That's so motivational. And it's nothing against him by any means,
right.
But it's not fucking true. It's so fucking hard to build this thing without giving your life to it.
Yeah, and it is a popularity contest. Like,
this feature hubs, dude. Look at these fucking feature hubs. Fucking Moody Grams is a prime example. You know, it's obviously the one that everybody wants to get featured on.
Right.
But you're never going to get featured on it.
And
especially
when
even if you
it,
use
though,
the MG5K,
yeah.
which is their like sub 5,000 followers, which makes you kind of feel bad, right? Because like sub 5,000 followers, I can't even imagine getting to five. I can't get to a fucking grand.
Right.
Even on my old Instagram, my old personal Instagram, there was one point where I was maybe at 1,000, which was like a fucking monumental occasion for me. And that was just because I was talking to a million different people.
Right.
That was that organic following. It took me fucking 3 years to get there though. But you know, it's just that shit, dude. It's just, it feels so unimportant and so unnecessary to throw so much of your effort and so much of your conscious self into a social media platform. Because how many clients have you gotten at this point? I mean, like, don't obviously fucking throw, I'm not putting you on blast, like, fucking, but like, you've gotten at least 10 at
yeah,
this point, you know, and this
contacts,
is just,
yeah.
that has nothing to do with your fucking Instagram.
No, most of it actually came from either word of mouth or people
all
that
word
I know.
Of mouth. The way to get ahead at all anymore is just to fucking network, right? And that's kind of why I wanted to have you on this podcast. I want you to have that realization at the end of this, that your fucking Instagram doesn't matter. My Instagram doesn't fucking matter. None of these Instagrams matter, right? It's another way to get yourself out there, to get a slightly bigger following, but with the amount of fake on Instagram, I hardly even believe that you're going to attain a following.
Right, yeah, like you could see, if we did a test, right?
Yeah.
And we took a portrait of a person.
Sure.
Then we took the exact same portrait in the same lighting conditions, but put, I don't know, a Supreme bandana on. I'm just saying, one with the Supreme bandana
is gonna do better.
Would yield a lot better
it's
than
look
just
worse.
The normal portrait.
Yeah, you could spend hours.
And I'll do the air quotes now. It's that new term, that clout.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everyone, you're telling me everyone on Instagram right now has everything Off-White, everything Supreme, everything Yeezy, everything. No, I guarantee 90% of these people are rocking fake stuff.
Oh, 100%.
Just for
100%,
reaction,
dude.
Based on social media. Because no one's going to fact check you. How could they fact check you?
No, they're not going to be, oh, dude, are those reps? Those Yeezys or
yeah,
those
like
reps?
Say you,
man, fuck off,
like,
dude.
Say you follow a guy with 100,000
mm-hmm.
followers, right? He posts something and you go through all his stuff and you notice he's just a clout grammar, right? He's posting anything that's going to get him clout, anything that's going to get him reaction for positivity. But if you called him out, he doesn't care.
He doesn't give a shit.
He doesn't give a shit.
He's not going to go on the record and say, oh, those are fake.
Yeah, because there's a thing where I don't want to sell out,
mm-hmm.
but there at some point you kind of have to buy into the game a little bit if you're going to use the platform.
I think that's my biggest problem is I've bought into the game.
Right.
Right. To get that initial following. And the results that are yielded are just, they're not exciting. Like,
no.
You can get hundreds of likes. Like, I think the most likes I've ever gotten is like 135 or something. And it's cool to see that. You look at your Instagram. Oh, man. 135. Dude, that's fucking tight. That's done nothing for me, though.
Nothing.
It's done nothing. Just like that thing with Esteban. The photo he posted the day before. That was in the fucking 4x5 that takes up as much of the fucking real estate as can. Did somebody buy a print of that? No. They bought a print of the one that he posted.
That he was
the
sure
fucking
about.
Landscape. That he was unsure of because it was simply
out
a
of his
landscape.
Realm.
No. Not out of his realm. That's the thing. He has no problem shooting in landscape. I'm talking about physical dimension here. Right?
Oh, okay.
Like, Instagram in general gives you better results when you fill the fucking frame.
Yeah, even Peter.
Yeah, even Peter
goes
McKinnon
off
says
about
that.
It. Yeah.
Goes off about it because I love Peter McKinnon, but he's a fucking clout grammar and a half.
Oh,
when
for
it comes
sure.
to this, right? Like it's just true. Like he's great. Don't get me wrong. Great photographer, even. But he does. He yields to the game.
Oh yeah, that's 100%. How he built his entire empire.
Following. Well, I feel like his YouTube channel is a little different than, say, his Instagram, because his Instagram is a lot more focused, I'd say, than his YouTube channel. Like, his YouTube channel is chaotic, but in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, you just
yeah, like
we're
he
not
goes
talking
from
about
vlogs
fucking
to tutorials to 2 Minute Tuesdays to, like, his short film. But yeah, it's very
exactly.
chaotic. Yeah.
Exactly. But I'm talking about Esteban being afraid to post a landscape style.
Oh, okay. I would thought you were referring
not
to
saying,
like he actually took
I'm
a
I'm not putting him on blast
photo.
And saying he's like afraid, obviously. Like, I know you're comfortable with your work. I'm
right.
guarantee he's listening to this. I'm not fucking talking shit.
Right.
Don't be afraid to do that kind of shit. Don't be afraid to experiment. It's not about the likes. It's not about the following. Because at the end of the day, the photo that gets you the print is the best one that you posted. That person who wants to buy that print is obviously more inspired by your photo than the one before it, right? You can have, let's just pull up real quick. Let's see, okay? For those of you at home wondering what I'm doing, I'm just go ahead and looking at my Instagram right now, pulling out the phone, looking at the Instagram. I'm going to go to my photo that has the most likes of this year thus far, which is 102 likes. Okay. So, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Let's just rough estimate about 30 of those likes are from my followers. Okay. That means all of these other people, or from people that I'm following, sorry, all of these other people are just randos.
Came from the hashtags.
Yeah, came from the hashtags, came from, you know, whatever. None of those people go to my website and think, man, I want to buy this guy's prints.
I doubt they even clicked on the site.
Highly doubt it. Highly doubt they clicked on my fucking profile.
Right.
First of all, likes don't fucking matter. And that's the, I guess that's the general purpose of this entire thing. Do not let likes determine your love for your own work.
Right. And that's not what I'm doing with this, because like you said, likes don't offer anything in return until you hit a certain yield, and that,
it's like
that
South
yield
Park,
been fine.
South Park's like, I'd like to cash my internet money check.
Right.
You know, it's the same entire fucking thing. It doesn't matter.
But let's say this.
Yes.
Likes do turn into opportunity.
To an extent, I agree with you. But the opportunity that you want is going to be created by one person. And that's you. You're the only thing that will get you any further in this career. And I mean that by saying you are the one who's going to be reaching out to people.
Right,
you are
yeah.
the one who needs to talk to people.
Exactly.
You are the one who needs to go to the fucking store and be like, would you guys be interested in any work? People will look at your Instagram and say, man, these are great photos. None of these shops in Albuquerque are going to be like, I should hire this guy. You know why? Because it's an oversaturated fucking market. Every single person does fucking some sort of photo or video work. The way you differentiate yourself is to fucking throw yourself in their face. Look at me. This is me. Fucking hire me because I know that I can do a good job for you. The only way I've ever gotten any paid gig is by simply reaching out to them. And I know that's like the worst fucking thing. Because all of these other YouTubers and Instagrammers, well, if you, sorry about that. If your work's good, they'll come to you, right? It's that field of dreams. If you build it, they will come. It's 2019. That's not how it works anymore.
What I think it is, though, is these people, like, let's look at Zing, right? At Kelly Allstarring. You guys should check him out. Guy's fantastic. Guy's a
Great.
Nut. Guy's
In-
a nut. He's
incredible.
Awesome.
He also has another one called Kelly Allstar, which is all his.
There you go.
Street and landscapey stuff.
What I like about him,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter that he has 130,000 plus followers. It doesn't matter that it is 27,000 posts, right? Doesn't matter. What is crazy about him is that his likes make these models that he's reaching out to comfortable. And I promise you, when they see this profile and they see that you're working with 27,000 essential different models that he's worked with, right?
Well, yeah, some are posted. To an yeah. extent, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Whatever the number is.
Divided but by like 10.
Say he approaches a model that he's never worked with. They don't know who he is. They never seen his profile. They never even had a word of mouth. He reached out. Do you think they're going to feel more comfortable seeing an established person with 130-some thousand followers working with hundreds upon maybe even thousands of separate people?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you think they're going to feel comfortable getting reached out to the guy with less than 1,000 followers and nothing? And it's not his fault, and it's not the person with the small amount of followers' fault.
Well, and that's the thing. I think it's all so cosmetic,
right?
It's all vanity, because at the end of the day, what a model should be judging the potential photographer on is the caliber of their work. I want to be able to be like, I mean, obviously, I'm not a model, so I don't go fucking reach out to models to shoot or anything, but say I did, I would much rather them see my website than my Instagram.
Oh, for sure.
And I feel like that's far more important. Joey L, has an Instagram following, but he fucking never posts. Ever. And he's an incredible photographer.
His site's godly.
Absolutely. Focus on your website. Focus on getting people there instead of getting to your Instagram. And here's the reason why. Because likes are a detriment. Follows are a detriment. When somebody goes to my fucking website, they see photos. And that's it. They don't see anybody saying, you know, they don't see any sort of metrics to tell them whether they should like it or not. Right? And I feel like that's what Instagram does. It tells you whether you should like something.
Well,
oh, this photo has a lot more likes. This dude has a lot of follows. I should follow him because he already has a big following.
Right.
Go to the website. You just see the work because the work is what is the most important. That's what stands on its own. Right? Like there's nothing more important than your work because at that point, say, well, this, you know, I reach out to a model and I say, hey, you know, would you be into working with me? I really want to do some more modeling stuff, you know, yada, yada. I have this idea. This is my website. If they say, well, what's your Instagram? I'll be like, does it matter? Like, well, why does that matter? Because if all that you want to work with me for is to build your following or to gain clout or whatever, then it's just that feels fake as shit.
And the way I look at it is everyone, they always say it basically, judges your Instagram by the first six photos that they see. Your latest
honestly,
six,
though,
right?
I'd say first nine because those are the first ones you see.
Yeah, past, you scroll past your bio.
Yeah, you
well,
scroll
they
past
say
the
they
bio.
Always say that the first six is the most important because that's what the phone opens to is your name, your bio, your first six.
Yes. Yes.
So why I archived everything is because I could honestly look at my old stuff and be like proud of this one. These other five, I basically said, good enough. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to make sure my six, when one gets replaced,
it's just replaced by absolute fire.
Not fire. It's replaced by something I'm proud of.
Absolutely. And that's what I mean by absolute.
Right.
It's like, you don't want to post anything that you're not stoked on. Right.
And I have been.
There you go. See, there's a huge difference for me there, though, because what I hear when I archived everything is I didn't get enough likes. Now, if you're super stoked on something and it doesn't get likes, are you going to fucking archive it?
No.
That's all that matters. That's all that I want to get across is literally just fucking post what you want. This is my first six. I love every one of those photos.
Right.
I would not have posted them if I didn't love them.
But see, your Instagram is very tailored to your personal life.
Kind of. I mean, really, it's not.
Like, you have a lot of pictures of your son, family, friends,
but I mean, like,
social outings.
Scrolling.
Mine was a jumbled mess of just random shit.
Well, yours was a lot more, I feel, about your personal life. Yours, when I was really kind of,
it was a very insecure perspective.
Sure.
My entire page was a very insecure perspective.
Your bio was a very insecure.
Everything about that page, and that's why I archived it. It's not that I wasn't fully pleased with what I presented. It's just I didn't like the vibe of the page anymore. I didn't want my name associated with that name anymore, right? So I don't want people to be like, oh, there's that fucking guy.
He has no focus in life.
Right, like his shit's mediocre. Like he's just another mediocre person. So I archived everything. I won't use the same username again. And it's not like I'm trying to hide my identity or, you know, run
see,
from my mistakes.
That's kind of
it's
what
just
it comes
like,
off as.
I've excelled. I'm confident now. So give me a fresh slate and I'm going to fucking hit it. I'm going to kill it.
Now, okay. You archived every single photo. Are you telling me that not a single one of those is something that you were proud of?
There was a couple in there. But if I'm going to come back strong... I want to come back strong.
You want
to
start
to a
fresh.
Clean slate.
You want to start new.
Right.
New.
Right.
As, you know, air quotes. Okay. I mean, that's fair. I can see that. I can see that kind of, you know, perspective. Right. Because it is important to just be comfortable with what you want to do. And if that's what you want to do, that's just fucking what you want to do. Now, let's shift away from Instagram because we spent a solid fucking 25 minutes. Let's talk about, okay. So this is going to be, first of all, folks, this is going to be a very, very photo-centric conversation. If you didn't already get to that, like, super sorry, but you know, we're not getting into a lot of other stuff. Panasonic drops a Lumix S1 and S1R. What are your thoughts on that?
I am a dedicated Sony shooter, but all I have to say is, Sony, you better start backing it, because...
Dude, with a fucking 5 million dot EVF, dude, are you fucking joking?
Well, think of it like this. Lumix played their cards risky, but they played it smart.
Yeah.
They let Canon shoot themselves in the foot, and they let Nikon shoot themselves in the head.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. I mean...
Right.
It's really hard to...
Canon will limp away. Nikon has a lot of crawling back to do. And Sony's king, literally, product of the year for photographers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
is
Sony,
the
A3. I'm also a diehard Sony shooter. Like, there's no question.
Right.
I wouldn't go to a S1 or an S1R when there's an A7 III there.
Right.
But the person who's like, I want to get into photography, I want to spend the money, I would be hard-pressed to tell them not to jump into a Lumix system. With that S1 and the S1R, they're beasts. They're fucking disgusting.
So you're talking about 4 years before they have a solid lens lineup for that camera.
Mm-hmm.
Because what have they always done? Crop sensors.
Always.
It's not like you're going to mount a crop sensor lens.
Not only crop sensors, but Micro Four Thirds.
Micro Four Thirds crop sensors.
Exclusively.
Anything but full frame. So it's not like you're going to go and be like, oh, cool, I have this Lumix system with all this glass. Let me go adapt it to this full frame. And then that I spent almost $4,000 for a body just to lose resolution by using a Micro Four Thirds or a crop sensing lens.
Here's my thing, though. That L-Mount Alliance.
The L-Mount Alliance.
That is incredibly cool to me because that's just the Leica mount.
It's
you
fantastic.
You have an entire array of admittedly extremely expensive but very high-end glass to immediately put on the S1 or the S1R because that L mount is just already there.
Right.
Now, every Leica lens will run on that minus, you know, Micro Four Thirds and shit like that. But every L mount glass that's available will already run on the Panasonic S1 and S1R, and that's where I think the Panasonic is finally making a very, very smart fucking decision. Instead of focusing and saying, you know, let's go the way of Canon, let's go the way of fucking Nikon, make an entirely new mount, talk all this fucking crazy madness about it, and then only release some lackluster lenses, except for Canon. Canon released possibly the greatest lens thus far in the zoom range, which is a 28-70 f2. That's fucking mind-boggling to me.
That's a nice lens.
I mean, that opens up a lot of room for, you know, fucking innovation. There's the word. But anyway, I feel like Lumix, one, announcing that L-Mount Alliance as early as they did, kind of letting everybody know, hey, Sigma's in on this, Leica's in on this, we're in on this. Let's fucking go. Sigma is already dropping dozens of lenses before the end of this year because they've already been in production with that L mount and they're going to be dropping everything under the sun. They're dropping more for the Panasonic S1 and S1R than they will for Sony by the end of the year, right? I'd be amazed if I see a 70-200 2.8, 24-70 2.8, and a 14-24 2.8 for Sony before I see them for the S1 and the S1R.
Yeah, and I mean, looking at that camera, I was actually really impressed with what it was. But here's the thing why Sony and now Lumix Panasonic are why they came out so strong, what they did on their first, like, very big bodies of the year, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sony,
first full-frame sensors right, ever.
Sony's had DSLRs. They knew how to do it. They had the A99s. They had all kinds of crazy stuff, right?
Trash. Sorry,
but they
bad.
Had the option.
Yes.
Then Sony also had the dad style video cameras forever that just shoot strictly video.
Handycams.
But Sony's known how to do video and they know how to do photos. And they combined it with their Alpha series and did very well with it. Canon and Nikon have always been like, cool, here's our photo based cameras. If you want to get into video, here's our professional stuff.
Except for Nikon. Nikon has actually always been more about photography than anything.
Oh, for sure. That's
Nikon's never really had a really great video op. Other
not
than,
at all.
Okay, it's not fair. It's not fair to Nikon to say this because Nikon actually does have incredible video options. They just have the worst autofocus on the market.
Oh, exactly.
I mean, that's it's very unfair because I've seen some of the shots you can get with a Nikon camera, like in video, like Evan Ramp, Frono's Photo. beautiful fucking shots, great codecs. They go by the wayside because vloggers don't want to use it, right. Which is so fucking upsetting. Anyway, now, okay, and I see where you're coming from with the Sony thing, but I'm going to fucking rebut my rebuttal. Panasonic is kind of the fucking king of video when it comes to...
Their Micro Four Thirds sensors with their video was just top notch.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Now imagine a fucking GH5 in a full frame with full frame 4K with a fucking 4K H.2.2 10-bit codec.
Wish it was 14.
Okay, first of all, I see what you're saying, but 10 bits kind of like the highest you can really
get. Yeah, I don't know why people are really complaining either. It's like they're going to buy this camera, 90% of them, and they're going to post on YouTube and social media.
Yeah,
anyway.
Fucking nobody's really going to
look at
this.
They're not going to be like, well, look at that 10 bit.
Like, oh, fucking 10 bit. I shoot fucking 8 bit.
Because if you're going to shoot something with quality, you're going to get that Alexa Mini.
You're going to rent an Alexa. You're not buying.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, that's really the thing. But I just feel like Panasonic, because I have a place in my heart for Lumix. I'm fucking looking at my GX85 right now. I always have. My first ever video-centric camera was the GH1 that I hacked to be like a GH2 with that sick fucking bitrate and, you know, all that shit. And I feel like for once, Panasonic's actually coming out and fucking hitting people right in the balls. And here's the biggest problem. Their AF still sucks. I watched a few videos, but... So if you want to do autofocus, maybe don't use this. You know what I mean? Like, but I feel like that's easily fixable. They're just too stubborn for their own good. But I'm really interested to see what they do with stills because their color science is actually pretty
solid. Yeah.
Like, it's really nice. The biggest problem with Micro Four Thirds for photography is the lack of depth of field. I think, personally.
For sure.
You know, because it's not the size of the sensor. It's not the size of the initial images that you get. You still get really, really, really quality stuff. Very croppable to feel full frame, quote unquote. You know, you can still get incredible landscapes. Obviously, the crop sensor does limit your lens choices. But I mean, when you can buy something that's like an 8 to 18, you'll be pretty good at a fucking 16 to 36.
Right.
You know, or 16 to 39 equivalent ratio. But I'm just really interested to see Panasonic coming out the gate with like, these are for fucking photography, guys. These are like legitimately like, you guys are going to want to shoot with these for specifically photography. And there's some really cool video options in one of them.
Right.
Just really interesting to see them come out like that. Considering the video is really that's the future, in my opinion, for freelance work is video. I feel like in 2019, in 2018 even, if you came out as just a photographer, it's not as effective as being able to say, I also do video. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of the clients that I've gotten are strictly based on the fact that I do video.
Yeah.
I can message, you know, fucking Rio Grande Studios, who posted my video today, just so you know, super fun guys. but, and be like, hey guys, I'm a photographer. I want to take pictures of the studio. They're going to fucking laugh at me. They're going to be like, why would we want you to take pictures of our studio? Why would we want to pay you?
We have phones.
Why would we want to pay you for that? And one of the owner's sons is a fucking killer photographer. But I hit them with like, yo, I want to make a video. And they're like, yes, let's fucking do it. Let's party. So, you know, it's just interesting to see Panasonic again coming out with like a really photo-centric series. And both of them have dual SD card slots. Actually, one's an XQD card, which is fucking so tight because they are now the first other than Nikon to use that format.
Well, what's going to be really scary, though, and I'm honestly waiting for it,
mm-hmm.
is that A7S III. If that shines, they're going to break through, and every camera that's going to come out is going to try to compete with that specific camera for video.
Now, let's get into this, okay? The S1 has a feature that the A7S III absolutely has to have to stand a chance at this point, and that's 4K 60p.
That's what everyone wants.
It's fucking wild to me that a 24... It is more expensive than these other ones, but it shoots 4K at 60 frames per second with a slight crop. And with a new firmware update, we'll be able to shoot that at 10-bit. 422. Right now it shoots at 8-bit.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, throttled, because it's a release thing. But the Sony A7S III, I feel like they're going to have to do something more now because of something like that. Because the biggest thing that everybody's saying is, oh, is it going to shoot 4K 60p? That's a fucking game changer. If fucking A7S III comes out with 120p and 4K, then they win.
Yeah, and then also frankly, that body's going to be about $6,000 minimum.
Well, I mean, you know, Reds shoot 120p and 4K, but, you know, $40,000 camera.
Right.
But yeah, and also if the A7S III does come with a lot more photo-centric things as well, like say they're like, okay, this thing's a beast for video. Not even a question. No worries. Shoots 10-bit everything. But they also are like, and it's an A7 III in the photo department.
That would be a very exciting camera to see.
Who wants an A9 at that point, though?
The A9, if they do a like an A9 Mark II.
Oh, A9 Mark II
is
going to
be a lot better.
It's got to be incredible.
It
it's got to be. That's the problem with Sony, is they've put themselves in this hole of like, we make incredible shit. Now, how the hell are we supposed to beat that?
They set the roof. They're going to have to blow through it.
And that's the fucked up thing. And I feel like Panasonic, again, going back to the S1 and the S1R, are definitely getting near that roof. They're getting close to that roof. In comparison to the lackluster Nikon releases and the EOS R, which is okay. It's all right. Panasonic has single-handedly released two cameras that are far more capable.
They're going to compete with
yes.
those cameras for
yes.
sure. Oh, right
100%.
Out of the gate.
I'm interested to see what Froze says when he gets his hands on it.
Yeah?
Because he's such a fucking Nikon, like...
But he's honest.
He is
and
honest.
That's what's cool is... That's all I want right now in my life is that Gordon Ramsay type person, right? That
yeah.
cuts
yeah.
straight through the bullshit. Helps you build that tough skin and slaps you when you need to be slapped.
You want to be the apprentice at a tattoo shop.
I don't have a lot of people like that right now because a lot of people are too afraid to be that way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand. Like, nobody
Absolutely.
Wants to be a dick.
Well.
Right?
I wouldn't say nobody, but yeah. I feel you. Is what
yeah.
I, yeah you
know. But like, if you, with your friends or with people that you support, you're not going to
with your
try
colleagues.
To bring them down.
No,
but at the same
want...
time, I wish people were more honest.
Yeah.
Especially with me when I was starting out in the photography thing, I wish a lot of people were like, this shit is bad, dude. you're getting there. You need to build confidence and then come back and swing for the fences.
Work on your composition, work on X amount of whatever, fucking learn some more.
Right.
Et cetera,
I didn't have that. Like my parents, I could have been like, hey, picked up a camera and that's very nice, son.
Those
have a
are
good
the
day.
Best photos I've ever seen.
Well,
in
they
my
wouldn't
life.
Even ask to look yeah. at them. It would just be like, very nice, son. Have a good one. And you're like, okay, cool, right?
Well, and I, you know, motivation is great as well. Like, let's not say that you don't want to hear that your photos are good, right? Because say you take a photo, you're super pumped on it. Like, dude.
Money shot.
This is the GOAT, greatest I've ever taken. And I come at you and say, that's shit. You're going to be a little bummed about that.
Yeah.
Because you put all this effort in. Right. And low key, Estevan and I have our ways of doing that to all of us. Right. So you send us a picture, you're super stoked on it. We're like, nice, man. That's the Gordon Ramsay in a nice way of being like, that's all good. That's good. That's all right. Yeah, that's cool.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's essentially, okay. Right, essentially. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, just like you guys do the same fucking shit to me. I'll be like, oh, this fucking is fine. I fucking love this shit. Estevan's super nice man. And goes like, so why do you like that one?
Yeah.
And you just either don't respond or whatever. It's
highlights are blown.
Yeah. No. Fucking highlights are blown out, dude.
No, but, I get you. And like I have a friend, you met him that night, the other guy named Aaron.
Aaron, yeah.
He's starting out, mm-hmm. right? He didn't know anything. He asked me, he got a 6,000.
Then he got the
He wasn't
seven.
Too happy with it. And I was like, you know what, dude? You're at this point where you're not, he had like a kit lens.
Yeah,
you're at the point where you need to decide right now. Either just get the A7 II body, save the money, but get full frame lenses. So you can keep your glass forever, stay Sony, and just keep buying the newest full frame body whenever you could afford it. Right?
Whenever
you just
to,
get
yeah,
the newest
yeah.
one out. Okay, I could afford it. Your lens, your glass is timeless.
Yeah, that's not
your
going
body's
anywhere.
Going down. It's going to hit a shutter life eventually, and it's going to be
out. Not future proof by any means.
Right. Right. But you take care of that glass, you're forever good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what I explained to him. And he was actually like, dude, thanks for that. Like, yeah. I wouldn't have did push myself to get the camera that was a little bit more expensive without you helping me. And
without that little bit of like a kick in the ass.
He was very self-conscious of his stuff too. But I've always been honest with him out of the gate. Like, dude, you need to work on your composition with this one. You need to do this.
Work on your edits.
And
work on this.
And he has.
Yeah.
His composition's fantastic
now. We live in a world where it's like everybody is, again, scared to say, hey, you need to do some extra work on your shit.
Well, everyone has been told, and I forget who said it. I wish I knew who just said the quote. I'll probably find it when you start talking again. But they were saying that the most damaging thing that we do as a human race is saying good job.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Yeah. Because we're telling people your half-ass attempt is satisfactory.
Yeah.
Would you go above and beyond when you're already satisfactory? And that's what separates the people who are on that next level and the people who will never grow.
Yeah.
Is because from that.
It comes back to that idea of you're also your own worst critic. You archive every single thing you did.
Right.
And that in and of itself motivated you to kind of push yourself to this further next step. But there is still a balance that needs to be found.
And I just want to prove to myself.
In order to remain happy doing what you're doing. Because one of the most important things to me personally is I still want to enjoy this. I don't want to put this on a pedestal to the point of where I'm like, fuck, like all I worry about is X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Right. All I worry about is this good enough? Is the color right? Is the fucking edit good enough? Because I do that all the time anyway. But I also want to be able to be happy with what I have in front of me, what I've taken, the kind of work that I'm producing, the kind of edit that I'm producing. I want to be happy with that. And I feel like the only way to find a happy medium of that is never fucking stop learning. And if you keep learning, if you learn something new every single fucking day, you'll never be stale.
Right.
Because it doesn't matter. You know, you can be as shitty to yourself as possible, or you can have somebody fucking tear your shit apart. But at the end of the day, it's all about you pushing yourself. Because I can have Gordon Ramsay come up to me and be like, your photos are fucking, what the fuck are they, fucking me. Is that going to really phase me,
no,
though?
No, but it's the difference between honesty and somebody who understands everything, giving guidance after.
Yeah.
It's not just like smacking you down, slamming a beer at your house, and then just passing out on your couch kind of thing. It's like, yeah, fucked up, but sit down and we're going to address that fucker.
We're going to figure out why.
Right. And
it's creative.
So
criticism.
Here's that. What I was going back with.
Yes.
The other Aaron, he's saying he has these young kids in Gallup, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're actually taking off kind of in their little music scene. Like they're actually getting recognized right now. They're young. They're like 18, 19 year old kids.
As they usually are.
Cool. Right.
Yeah.
You know me, not into the rap scene, whatever. You've seen my friend Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Heavily influenced by that type of culture. That's his jam.
Yeah.
Which is totally cool. Like, I don't care what people are into. Like, that's his jam. So these kids ask him, you know, Gallup's not big on the photography thing, right? Like, you don't see that there.
Yeah, it's not
like Albuquerque. It's a very town it's 20 years in the past still.
Sure.
It's one of those small towns that's like,
they're shooting
did you
Cannon
hear about this?
Ones.
Yeah, 20 years ago I heard about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of making its way out there. There's a couple kids that maybe try to do it. And he's like, you know what? You're doing it. You've been my boy forever. Whenever I see you do it, I'm interested as hell in it. Will you help me?
Yeah.
Of course. So
why wouldn't you? Yeah.
He takes this photo the other day of these kids. He sent it to me. And I was like, your composition's fantastic, but you need to work on the editing.
Mm-hmm.
Send me the raw. I'm going to edit it. Not saying that's how he needs to do it. Not saying that it's my
not
right
saying
way.
The, yeah.
But here's the difference of what my 1,000 hours in Lightroom suffering compared to your 20 hours in Lightroom suffering.
Yeah.
Let me ease your pain through my experience kind of thing.
Exactly.
And here was my edit on his composition. I thought it was his, I thought his photo was great. I liked the low angle. I liked the leading lines.
The look on the dude's face, very emotive.
Everything was great about the shot.
Sorry, people, real quick. you can't see this literally at all. But it's a photo that his buddy took. But no, absolutely.
But yeah, his was very flat. He didn't, make the small adjustments on the skin for like the guy's like acne and
yeah.
Granted, whatever.
See, I won't get into that.
Yeah,
continue.
It's a debate, right? It's a debate. But yeah, so I showed him a lot of tools that night. I showed him how I do it, what I did to achieve that very modern look that's basically being appealed to on Instagram in every way.
Yeah.
And that's what
fucking
he's
faded.
So he's trying to appeal to those masses because these kids are trying to appeal to their masses, right? He's
providing kids are already
work
appealing
for a
to
client
the
that is expecting a certain type of outcome.
Yes.
So that's what he's doing.
He's going for a look that
they are
asking
want. For. Correct.
Yes.
So that's what he's trying to appeal like their style around. And that's what I showed him. Like, I'm like, dude, this kid guaranteed he's going to like the flashy stuff. He's going to like very contrasty,
blacks,
super colorful
tone curve,
mats. Yeah,
S
like
curve,
matte colors,
fucking
everything
smash
like
the
that.
Whites, all that. I get it.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
Photo got a lot of response. He's never really posted because he's always been insecure about it. I'm like, post that, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get it going. Because I'm like, you're where I'm at 2 years later. You're just starting.
Yes.
Let me literally help you again with my 2 years of struggling, trying to figure out this Instagram game.
Well, and see, that's the super interesting thing, is you think about your come up. Fucking stupid terminology, first of all. But you think about, you know, the way that you put yourself through X amount of fucking crazy hardships to get kind of where you are, right? But for me, I think about how many shortcuts I've been able to take because of the resources that I have available for me, right? Instead of thinking, well, I'm just putting in the work. I'm putting in the time to kind of, you know, you got it. You have to be a sufferer. You have to work on eczema. You have to be release terrible things in order to release good things. Watching the amount of YouTube or learning from the amount of podcasts that I've listened to have allowed me to focus on what I need to focus on in order to get where I need to be and to cut out all those things that get me not where I need to be.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I feel like that's the kind of thing that Aaron would also benefit from, that you also would benefit from, of focusing those efforts as opposed to, I spent so much fucking time in my room just fucking, I just
it's not like
it.
Listen to me. It's like the older brother mentality. Like,
sure,
I don't care what you do, dude, but I have some experience if you want it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
Absolutely.
And yeah, that's all you could really do is, you know, I've never tore anybody down.
No.
Like when I see these young kids or like they ask me questions, I'm not going to just be a dick. I'm going to answer
well,
as best as I can.
What fucking good is that going to do? Like, hey man,
you
really like
though.
Your work. Really, really like your work. Like, can you give me some tips? No, fuck you, dude.
How many times have you seen it in these Facebook groups? Someone asks a question. You see 138 comments of everyone just bashing him.
That's toxic.
It's called Google. Search the page. It's like,
dude.
I guarantee you didn't even search the page when you asked the question.
You didn't fucking search the page. You had to learn from somewhere,
too.
For
sure.
And whether you learned it from Googling it or whether you learned it from a fucking Facebook group, maybe this person wanted to get a couple different perspectives. Because that's what I see. Facebook groups are for in the first place is I want to get every different perspective that I can.
Right.
Why should I get the fucking 28 millimeter F2? Why should I get the fucking 35 millimeter F1.4? Tell me the pros, tell me the cons. Everybody has a different fucking opinion. And if you're posting in a Facebook group, that's what you're there for. You're not there for the fucking guy who's,
but how many times do you see it where people are getting slammed?
Oh, dude, you got it.
It's brutal.
Now, Facebook. Okay. This brings back the Gordon Ramsay thing. There's your Gordon Ramsay. You're on YouTube. You get negative comments all the time. You fucking post your shit in a Facebook group. You get negative comments all the time. Fucking congratulations. There's your Gordon Ramsay. There's the person who's telling you your work is shit.
But they're not offering anything back. It's just negative.
They're not. But if you want that sort of negative reinforcement, you found your platform for that.
Just put CC this.
Yeah, exactly. I need your creative, your, what is it? Creative criticism?
Yeah. If you put CC this image, you're getting hounded.
You're getting fucking destroyed every single time.
Every time.
And then you can go on and defend yourself and look like a fucking idiot or just kind of laugh it off. But yeah, no, and we're going on an hour now, so I'm gonna say we're gonna call it short. But Aaron, thank you for being on the show. Thank you for being the first ever in studio guest.
In studio.
And by studio, I mean my office that is very echoey. you know, we're working on that. But yeah, go check out Aaron's Instagram when it's back up.
When it's back up, it's gonna be under a different name. It's going to not even be the same.
What's
going
to be the name? What can people look forward to?
I don't know. That's where I want it just to come out full, like the full thing. I want the name to make sense, the bio to make sense, the content to express that. If I'm going to sit on this platform, like I said, I'm not going to sell out, but I am going to buy
You're
in
gonna
a little bit.
You're going to feed the beast.
There's no other option unless you want to go develop your own social media platform with guidelines and rules and see how far that gets you.
Or, you know, just make a really nice website.
Yeah. But how am I going to get traffic when I'm 74 pages through Google?
It's called SEO, Aaron. Sign up with Squarespace. Shout out to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode. Just
get the
kidding.
Hell out
they
here.
Didn't. That'd be so sick, though. Oh, man. Anyway, no, SEO, dude. I mean, like, honestly, there's so many different resources that you can use to just get your art out there without having to hear a bunch of people's stupid opinions or without having to see a bunch of bullshit.
Right.
As a result, right? Because I just like what I post and I like what I make.
The hard part is these people that you're trying to appeal to that could be potential clients are wolves. We are prey, Jake. There's a million of us that they can choose from. And if you're going to base it strictly off Instagram, it's the person with the most clout wins every time.
Base it on your website, like I just said. Anyway, no, what I'm saying is, okay, these people are wolves in a way, but in another way, they know a lot less than we do.
Oh, for
right?
sure.
A lot less. A lot of these clients don't know a fucking thing about why Instagram works. They just know, I see this thing on Instagram and this person is fucking got a lot of likes and followers. Maybe I'll reach out to them. Right. But at the end of the day, a lot of these people don't actually really know, like the people that you're really trying to like attack as a client are going to be a lot more, again, intrigued by website, by your pitch,
professionalism.
Yeah. Right. And whereas Instagram is I don't think
it's not professional.
Instagram is a way to like, get yourself into galleries or anything like that.
No. But it is a way to get yourself out there.
It is.
It is a stepping stone.
It is a tool that should be used for purely exposure.
I 100%
don't
agree.
Don't make it.
And that's all I'm trying to do now is just bring that exposure to a point where I'm comfortable. And that's when I'm just going to keep that small community. I'm not asking for Brandon Wolfel numbers. I'm not even asking for
Brandon Wolfel's one of those like rare occasions where it's like his Instagram actually did get him to where he is.
Yeah. I'm not looking for that.
No.
I'm looking for maybe
he's also been doing it since
15 to 3,000 solid people that are like a Twitch channel, right?
Yeah.
These people constantly see each other commenting. It's like a community. It's comfortable to
talk
to.
Like Cali All Starring.
Right. Dude, his community, if you watch his behind-the-scenes videos or the people that he sends the photos to so they could post on their Instagram, everything they have to say about that man is positive.
Mm-hmm.
He's so fun to work with. He's so original. I liked the thing that he does, and I'd get it, dude. He's not doing a full-time job, so yeah, he shoots in JPEG. Yes, he can shoot JPEG very well.
And yes, he edits in Snapseed.
His white balancing is fantastic.
Oh, he's a killer.
And where he stands out that nobody else is doing is he's providing these models with instant gratification. How? Because I guarantee he exports the photos, immediately either somehow drop boxes or airdrops it somehow to them.
Or prints immediately. It in a fucking Polaroid.
But that's the other thing I was going to say, is he's providing these people with instant gratification of digital prints and a mess of Polaroids that cost him, with what he's doing, basically nothing.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, wow, I got these cool Polaroids. I got these cool things. And that's what I'm...
He offers a lot more than just photography.
Your traditional Instagram photographer that's like, hey, I'm God, hit me up. Like Callie Elstarring, I guarantee would still be one of the most humble people I've
guaranteed
ever talked
to. I mean, he absolutely. All right, folks, that's where we're going to call it for the rest of the night. Aaron, thank you again for being on here. Look out for Aaron's Instagram coming back at some point. But yeah, if you're listening during the daytime, if you're listening during the nighttime, anytime at all, I hope it's a great time. And well, that's it.